Welcome to the SB Live California podcast. Before we get going, I want to take a moment to tell you about something exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest California high school sports news, scores, videos, polls, photos, podcasts, player rankings, and much more. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team with real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more. The app delivers all the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's your number one source for California high school sports fans with coverage from reporters Lance Smith, Bodie Da Silva, and me, Connor Morissette. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. Like I said, welcome to the SB Live California podcast. Connor Morissette here with Lance Smith and Bodie Da Silva. Bodie, last week it was a slow week in San Diego for football, but this week that is not the case. It's kind of been reversed. It was a bigger week up here, and it's kind of a quieter week up here now. But in San Diego, big game, Lincoln and Cathedral Catholic. I understand that you don't think this one will be particularly close, but it's number one versus number two nonetheless. How do you see this game going?
I'll be really interested to see. Obviously, Lincoln comes in 3-0 as well, and they've yet to give up a point this year. Cathedral hasn't done too bad themselves. Their last game, they finally gave up their first points against St. Augustine, and actually trailed 10-7 at one point. They did pull away late. Lincoln's loaded really, really everywhere. I think if you were going to point out one area would be up front on both sides, but a sophomore quarterback in Samuel Cooper, who is a big-time guy for years to come, and just so talented, cornerbacks, receivers, running backs. So we know Cathedral will be up to the challenge. They've been, I shouldn't say huge surprise, but I didn't have them number one in the county to start. And as we head into week five here, it's clear that they are number one. And so this is a huge game. Cathedral's hosting, not that that's a huge matter this year without normal crowds in attendance, but I would expect Cathedral to win this game. We'll see in what style they do it as. Cathedral's always been known as a wing T team. This year, with having quarterback Charlie Meyer and some good receivers, they've thrown it a little bit more. I would expect it to go back on the ground this week. I think that's a way that they would go about attacking Lincoln, not having a ton of guys up front that can really stop it. And running back wise, Cathedral's loaded. Lucky Sutton, a junior, is having an unbelievable year. Christian Hall behind him, Jack Kilpatrick, Darian Whaley. So they've got guys that when they want run the ball, they have a big group there that can do that. So that's definitely the game of the week down here. Definitely one of the best games in the state all year. And we'll see what happens. But I'm expecting Cathedral to come out on top and really use these next 2 weeks as they move into next year, because they return a ton of the team. And I think this is a top 10 team in the state, at least to start next year.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk about as well. It seems like their junior class is a little bit better maybe than people thought. And heading into next year, I know we talked on our call Monday, they think they could be a potentially nationally ranked top 25, top 50 team. What do you think they need to do down the stretch to almost audition for a top 25 national spot? Do you think a prerequisite is blowing out Lincoln and then needing to finish the year strong heading into the fall in order to be ranked? Do you think them being nationally ranked is just them talking and maybe they're not quite there yet? What are your thoughts on them on a national level?
Yeah, I think these next 2 weeks, they'll host Lincoln this week, and then they finish up at Madison. If they're dominant in both those games, I would think that would help their case. They probably don't have any big names recruiting-wise on the offensive line, but otherwise we know Charlie Meyer's going to be a big recruit. Lucky Sutton's been picking up offers. Rex Haynes at receiver's a guy I'm really big on. And then defensively, they've got guys all over. Jackson Moy's probably the big name there, offers USC, Stanford, Michigan all over. So I think that this is a group they can really build around. And even talking to their defensive coordinator in the offseason, he figured there were some guys, but he goes, we'll see how quickly it'll all come together. And for them, I know they were able to work out a little bit more than some of the schools down here leading into the year. But they were able to put it together quickly. And I think that talks – they've had a coaching staff that's really been intact for a while. But I think it really talks about the group of guys they have and the talent. And I think especially with this being such a short off season, that we'll be looking back at it in 90 to 100 days of getting started. And I know they've talked about having De La Salle on the schedule. That was supposed to be a game this year, so hopefully that can get done next year. And over the years, they've hosted the Honor Bowl down here, which always a great event with five games. So I'm sure if they can get that done, they'll get another good opponent out of that. So I think if they can finish off these last two games and start with a loaded schedule, I think that would definitely help their case.
Last thing for you about this game. We've talked a lot about Cathedral Catholic. Lincoln, the schedule hasn't been that hard, but they have not allowed a point, like you said, this year. If they are to pull off an upset, it would be a surprise. We know it's not likely, but for them to hang around, for them to be close, put themselves in a position to pull off an upset, what do they need to do?
Yeah, for Lincoln to win, I definitely think it needs to be a low-scoring game. Not that they're bad offensively, but so far this year, the defense has just been dominant. There's just so many playmakers, especially in the defensive backfield, where that's why I tend to think Cathedral will try and run the ball more in this game. But Lincoln certainly has the guys to pull it off. They beat Cathedral last year. Now Cathedral had been coming off quarterback DJ Ralph going down the game before, but Charlie Meyer played in that game. We've seen how good he is this year. So Lincoln definitely believes they can pull it off, no doubt. So definitely be interested as we head into this one. It'll be a fun one, I think, for sure.
Definitely. Lance, haven't heard from you yet. Sorry about the long layoff off the top, but I know you want to talk about the Mission League and how Jalen Henderson's making a big deal for Chaminade, which is absolutely true. The quarterback who's going to Fresno State, initially opting out of the season, now playing, and they have a game against Alamany this week. And it sounds like, Lance, you think there's a chance there could be a big three-way tie at the top of the league. Maybe Chaminade even wins. Explain your thinking, please.
Sure. So, yeah, the Mission League's heating up. The last 2 years, it's been it hasn't been a one-dog race. It's been there's been competitive parity, but both times Bishop Mott, of course, finished 5-0 in the league. So there was no complication. It was a undisputed, unshared first place in the league by Bishop Mott. So now you have Alamany 3-0 in league, Sarah 3-0 in league. Then you also have Chaminade 2-1 in league, but their loss was Jalen Henderson's first game back after opting back in. Jalen Henderson, when he's in season and in rhythm, he's one of the absolute best offensive playmakers in California, period. So Chaminade's still 2-1, and Chaminade and Alamany, of course, played this week. So if Chaminade wins and Sarah loses, that means all three of those teams have a 3-1 record in league. And then anything can happen after that. In fact, if Chaminade wins out and the other two teams lose out, Chaminade can actually still get an undisputed first place. So that's still an underdog. It would be an underdog run for them. But the fact that by one player opting in again, not that Chaminade doesn't have a bunch of other good players, and they have a lot of young players who have gotten better as the weeks have gone, especially on defense. But by one player opting back in, that's changed the direction of them potentially from a Mission League, not necessarily at the bottom, but certainly not in contention for a title, to a weird turn of events. They could split a piece of the pie at the top or even get it. So that's been fun. And even if you take out Chaminade alone, just having the two 3-0 teams, Sarah and Alamany, which won't play this week but will play next week and could potentially both be 4-0 going into it, in which case there would be a true gold medal match. Those are exciting storylines to follow.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about the game Saturday. Alamany, the scouting report on them, I haven't seen them yet, but from talking to people, their star players have been stars, like RJ Jones, the great defensive back for them. He's had a great year. But I think on offense, it started to really come together against Bishop Amat, but that was the first game. It's really looked great. So we'll see if Chaminade can limit the Alamany offense. I think Alamany is definitely the favorite this week. I like them to win, but what I've heard is maybe we might have had them a little too high early in our rankings. I think they've been around the 8 or 9 spot in the Southern section. And for some people, that's a little bit high right now, but it seems like they're improving week by week. And I like them to beat Chaminade, but certainly they didn't get off to the best start, even though they've won these games. Maybe they haven't lived quite up to expectations. So I think this is a big game for them. Chaminade is obviously improved. Alemany has shown improvement as well. And if they can win, they'll have a chance at sharing the league. So it's huge in that regard. But Alemany, remember, that they've been the closest team to Bishop Amat in the past couple of years. So they want this game bad. They want a league title bad. I think Casey Clausen's guys will be ready to play. And I like them this week. How do you see it going?
I see it the same way. In the way you were talking about Alemany, where the super high expectations, they've been really good, haven't necessarily... It would feel like a slight to say that they totally haven't lived up to the hype, because they're getting it done, but they haven't been blowing out teams the way that a top 8 or 7 team in the section could. That's kind of the same with Gardena Serra. It's been some low scoring, slow paced, grinded out defensive battles, and that's for a team that is absolutely loaded offensively, one of the best quarterbacks in the country, of course, Malik Murphy. They also have talent at receiver, and one of the best running backs in the Mission League too, Elijah Davis. And they're just a complete team, offense included. So offensive line included, I mean. So both of those teams, they're getting it done, and it seems like they both could have another gear. For Sarah, that would especially be on the offensive side of the ball. Alemany, after putting up 47 on Bishop Amat, for them, that next gear is on the defensive side of the ball. Where this is one of their more defended, talented defensive teams that in a while. So both of them could have a little bit of a last minute coming out party when all the marbles are on the line.
Yeah, definitely. I want to, for my opening take, talk about LA City section football. It starts this week. I'm very happy about that, but I'm getting a little sick of the narrative I'm seeing where people are saying, oh, it's just nice to see these kids play. We thought it would never happen, even when the state said that they would be able to play. And I just think LAUSD, and it's so easy to pile on LAUSD for their how they treat athletics, but I just want to talk about it for a little bit. They need to be held to a higher standard, because when the state said that padded football practice could begin in February, remember, there was like a month after where the question was, will LAUSD schools be able to play? Just because the state said they could, we were still waiting on the district. And that's just how it's always gone. They're notoriously slow with athletics. And for me, there was really no reason why they couldn't have started padded practice in late February. And games could have begun March 12th. And maybe for city section coaches, that would have been too soon. But maybe you start March 19th. Maybe you start later in March. The fact that we're starting in April 9th, I think, is a little bit too late. And that's frustrating to me. But again, I just don't like when people say, oh, you know, that's LAUSD. They're just always slow. Well, let's try to buck that trend. Let's put a little pressure on them to try to do something. I know we don't have the biggest platform here on the SB Live California podcast, but I think sometimes they need to be called out. And I think here's one of these times. What was really frustrating for me is this first week, Carson's not going to play. Dorsey's not going to play. And it's not because of COVID-19. Like we saw Mission Viejo, they had COVID issues, so they didn't play. It's not because of injuries. We saw Grace Brethren didn't field a team because they didn't have enough healthy players. Carson isn't playing because they didn't have enough matching helmets. Dorsey isn't playing because they didn't have enough time in helmets and in pads. So because of that, San Pedro doesn't play. And because of that, Carson, they don't get to play Jefferson. And that's just a classic LAUSD issue, something that you don't hear about happening in other areas. And this might be a stretch, but I think it's related to the lack of a coaching stipend at LAUSD. It's been $2,811 for 20 years, and that's not very much money compared to what other football coaches make. And I think if you want to start to change your culture around athletics, follow the money. And these guys don't make very much money. And I think if LAUSD committed more money to athletics and committed more money to coaches, which I know the budgets are always tight, but if they did that, then these schools would have their acts together. I think it's a really bad look that San Pedro, one of the top teams in LA City section football, can't play this week because Dorsey didn't have enough time in pads. That, to me, is a culture issue. If Dorsey had more money to fill out their staff, to have better equipment, maybe they would have been able to play this week. So when people say, oh, the city section's falling behind, I look at LAUSD more than I do the city section, so that was frustrating to me. And I know LAUSD, it's the second largest district in the country, and 80% of the kids live at or below the poverty line. Money is always tight. I get it. But you're really telling me 20 years go by and you're not able to raise the coaching stipend when in rural Alabama, coaches are getting like 30 grand to coach. Here, it's under 3 grand. That's a major issue for me. I would hope that this would be an LAUSD wake-up call, but I feel like that's just how it's going to be. And I want to start trying to hold LAUSD to a higher standard with athletics, put a little bit of pressure on them, because I don't think this is acceptable. And we see every day people say, oh, city section football isn't good. City section football isn't good. And it's definitely not what it used to be, but it could be a lot better if the district supported it more. And that is my opening take. And as a follow-up to that, Bodie, I wanted to ask you about some of the public schools in San Diego, because San Diego is a massive district like we see with LAUSD, but a team like Lincoln, I saw them beat a really good Culver City team in the state playoffs a couple years ago. These public schools in San Diego, they're able to have really good football seasons. And just what allows these public schools in San Diego to be better than the city section teams, do you think? How come they're able to be so competitive in your eyes?
Yeah, it's tough to say exactly. I know early on, once the state allowed practices to begin, there was definitely some question down here if San Diego Unified would kind of follow in LA Unified's footsteps. And for whatever reason, they were able to get it done. Obviously, there's less schools, but I don't know if it's just them kind of handling it different of, we want to make sure that our kids have the same abilities as maybe North County Public Schools or some of the private schools who, like Lincoln, is in league play with St. Augustine and Cathedral Catholic, who it may be spread around the county, but they're like, hey, we don't want to opt out of the season. We want to make sure our kids get the same benefit. Now, some teams have played 5 games, 4 games, 6 games down here. Not really the point. It's more just they've gotten back on the field in a timely fashion and been able to find a way to support the kids just like the others have. I know at Lincoln, they have, it's not that they're short on staff or anything. They've got a great staff going there, and guys always happy to come really just lead the kids and coach. And that school was closed for a little bit there, let's say over a decade ago, and they redid it. And since it's opened, it's really flourished again, really at all the sports. So that's been good to see, and just happy that a district that there were some questions about was able to get it all together and get their kids back playing.
Yeah, and they've played 3 games, right?
Yeah, Lincoln's played. Yeah, they the first week, I believe they scrimmaged. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But, yeah, they were able to they got Sarah 2 weeks ago, and then they played they opened up with Point Loma, and then Point Loma obviously ended up canceling the season after that due to just not having enough bodies and a new staff coming in. But yeah, Lincoln is probably the best example, but all the schools in San Diego Unified, San Diego High and Hoover, and you just go along, and they've all been able to get back and get on the field, which is just awesome to see.
Yeah, so no matter how you slice it, 3 games, 2 games, they've started earlier. And just the point I want to make, if that big district can do it, LAUSD faces a million challenges, I know, but San Diego Unified faces a lot of the same ones, and yeah, they've been able to get their football players playing. So stuff like that has just frustrated me. And then I get really sick when people say, oh, the city section stinks. The city section stinks. It's the city section's fault. When look at a school like Birmingham that is in LAUSD, but it's a charter. They don't have to adhere to LAUSD athletics rules. They prove that it's not the city section's fault. It's LAUSD's fault. Birmingham started earlier. Birmingham pays their coaches more. Those are the biggest issues facing the section. A lot of it is self-inflicted by LAUSD. And basketball can be competitive. Baseball can be competitive. But football is a different beast. And I wish that they would take football a little bit more seriously. I think that's where they need to start. And there's a whole bunch of other reasons why city section football has fallen off. You look at just what it used to be and demographics of some of those power areas in South Central Los Angeles and up in the Valley, and the schools look a little bit differently than they used to. And there's been an exodus to different areas of Southern California that have contributed to football not being as good. But I think if you pour more money in and you just give schools a chance, that will definitely see an improvement, even if it's a little bit small. So I don't want to hijack the conversation, even though I kind of have a little bit. So sorry about that. We've been talking forever. But I think that's just, you know, city section football starting this week. I wanted to get that off my chest. Bodie and then Lance, we'll talk about some games in our area. Before we let you go, Bodie, a big basketball game Friday between Southern Section Power, Corona Centennial, and a San Diego Power, Torrey Pines. And I guess before we get to that, are there any other big football games you want to hit on? But I wanted to talk about that basketball game with you before we let you go.
Yeah, there is a game. We rarely get Thursday games down here, but this tomorrow, coming up on Thursday, we're going to have Mission Hills taking on El Camino. And Mission Hills is a team that's moved up in my rankings. They had some COVID issues in week one, but since they've gotten the field, back-to-back 28-7 wins over Oceanside and Torrey Pines, which were preseason top five teams. So Mission Hills has been looking really good. And El Camino, I had a team that they'd moved up to four at one point. They dropped after their loss to Torrey Pines, but another team that has a lot of talent, will bring a lot of guys back for next year as well. So an Avocado League matchup that I'm really looking forward to on Thursday night. And because of it being on Thursday, able to get a bonus game in. So that's fun.
Yeah. And then on the basketball front, it'll be nice to see Corona Centennial and Torrey Pines. I know you won't be able to spend your whole night there because of the big football game at that same time. Luckily, Cathedral Catholic and Torrey Pines are so close. But you heard a little tidbit on Corona Centennial. There's questions about whether Dior Johnson will even play, so hopefully you'll see him Friday. But there are doubts that he's even with Corona Centennial right now, correct?
Yeah, I know when their roster was sent over that he's not included, and at this point it's not really sure what his status is for this upcoming season. So disappointing to hear, but they'll move along. We know they always have a good team, and certainly some good guards on this year's roster of it. So excited to see maybe a quarter or a half of them, and they often have come down for different holiday tournaments down here, but for just a one game thing, I know it's fun. And with the one county guidance, they were able to pull that off, and Torrey Pines has looked really good, 6-0 so far. And some of the top teams down here, I know Cathedral Catholic, who will likely be my preseason number one. I know they're a little bit into the year now, but they don't play their first game until Friday. St. Augustine's another team. They're playing their opener tonight. So some teams in San Diego are taking advantage and playing the whole 28-game season. I think it's within 59 days, I think, are the allowable days that you'd be able to fit it in. But others are playing more of an 18-20-game season. And then hopefully we'll have the regular playoff situation. So it'll be exciting here once teams have played enough games and we're kind of able to see each other of how they stack up. But without tournaments, it's really created a lot more of these non-conference matchups, which I love to see. And a lot of teams are using it as a back-to-back with testing rules. They'll play one place one night and at the other opponent's place the next night. So that's fun to see how that 24-hour difference makes with how those coaches can change the matchups and everything from the night before.
The Southern Section is going to announce what Season 2 playoffs will look like, if there will be them at all, on Monday. As we've seen in the past, do you think the San Diego Section will follow what the Southern Section does? What's different about San Diego, it's fewer counties, so maybe they would go in a different direction than the Southern Section. But stuff today broke, and it looks like that the news that did break, you don't have to play teams in neighboring counties anymore. You can play anyone in the state. So it looks like playoffs are on. Do you expect San Diego to have a similar announcement soon?
Yeah, everything I've heard is that they're planning to have regular playoffs. The only thing, and that's just kind of been a county guidance, is I know there was some disappointment. The two ones I heard about were for swimming championships and for cross country. And for swimming, the problem was when you bring so many teams in, the current county guidance only allows you to have two at a time. And just talking to different people, oftentimes you get 30 or more teams between team events and individual, and they just could not find a way to make that happen. And then for cross country, the big issue was a lot of the same thing, but they discussed, can you spread it out through the day? Maybe two runners start at 6:30 and then two runners come at 7:30, and the coaches ultimately turned that down because running at 6:30 is different than running at noon, and then is the track been trampled down when all these runners on it and not everyone's doing it at the same time. So unfortunately it sounds like those two events are off, which is disappointing, but At the end of the day, that's what the county guidance says. So I know CIF wants to have as many championships as possible. And for the team sports, I think it looks likely because you really only have two at a time. And there's not like it's at a neutral site and you're playing several semifinals or quarterfinals, anything like that. So
yeah, the Southern section had similar questions. If you have a spring track championship in LA County, can teams from all eight Southern section counties come? Just because you can, the neighboring county rule is gone now, and you can have a game between an Orange County team and a Ventura County team now. What is it for individual sports, the updated guidance? What does that mean? Can you host a track event where people from all those different counties come to one county? So they're still trying to get a better understanding on that, and we'll see how that goes. But the Southern section's big announcements coming Monday, so we'll see. It sounds like, you know, just because we're in different parts of the state doesn't mean we're dealing with different issues. It's a lot of the same stuff with all this COVID-19. Well, Bodie, thank you. I want to wrap up with Lance now. I appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, great slew of games coming up in San Diego this weekend. So, Lance, let's talk about two other games that we'll be at this week. Vista Murrieta and Murrieta Valley in football. You'll be covering that one on Friday. And I wanted to briefly talk about this game because we have Vista Murrieta ranked ahead of Murrieta Valley in our rankings, and that comes down to defense. I think Vista Murrieta has a better defense. I know Murrieta Valley is really known for their offense, but defensively, I think Vista Murrieta is better, and I like them in this game. Do you see it similarly?
I see it the exact same way. You look at the point differentials this year, Vista Murrieta has been offensively looking on a solid level, but defensively, Murrieta Valley's been having trouble putting away teams that they're scoring on easily. Great Oak being the best example. Yeah. Great Oak, I think, scored 5 touchdowns on Murrieta Valley. Vista Murrieta shut them out. With Murrieta Valley, we know about their offensive firepower with Tiger Bachmeyer, sophomore wide receiver, and Brandon Rose, the great, listed as a pro-style QB, but really he's a dual threat. Between the two of them and some other receivers, they just have the offensive firepower, especially with Vista Murrieta's great tight end having transferred to IMG. So I think that if Vista Murrieta's offense plays up to the level it's been this year, it's just a tough matchup for Murrieta Valley. But we also know rival schools in really competitive leagues tend to know what it takes to give each other their best shot. So I see it the same way you do.
Yeah, and I think for me that's the game of the weekend, right up there with Alamany Chaminade. In the city section, the big game I'm paying attention to is Palisades at Venice Friday night. And for Venice, it's the debut of Sam Vaulton, the long-awaited debut, the quarterback transfer from Tennessee, who initially got an offer from Ole Miss. Didn't end up working out there, but a big arm, a state champion in Tennessee, someone who I wonder, and I've spoken with him, but I wonder if he could do it all again if he would have come to Los Angeles, because Tennessee ended up having a season in California. Here we are in April, and they're just starting. But anyway, I'm excited to see him start. And then it's a big revenge game for Venice. The last time these two teams played, Palisades won. Palisades was better than them a year ago. Usually Venice is the better team, but this season Venice has a chance to get their revenge, and I think they will. Palisades quarterback transferred to Birmingham. One of their good offensive linemen opted out of the season. So this game, to me, screams Venice winning by a couple scores just because of Sam Vaulton and because they're so angry over the 2019 game. So I like Venice in this one, and it'll be a nice start to city section football. It was a shame that San Pedro wasn't able to play San Fernando. If that game had happened, I probably would have checked out that one. But Pally-Venice will be a good game. And I think even though they got killed by St. Bernard, Birmingham would probably be the favorite in a normal year. Any final city section thoughts from you, Lance, before we wrap up?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, with Birmingham being the preseason number one, so to speak, who would you have as the second best shot to win, say, an open division championship this year in the city section if there was one?
Yeah, I think you'd have to have Birmingham 1, like you said, and then 1A to is San Pedro, and then Banning right there. I think that's your clear top three, just based on what's happened the last couple of years. those would probably be the three main teams, I think, who would have a chance, which means the San Pedro Bannon game is going to be great. Last year I went to it. Unfortunately, Jacob Galloway picked up an injury pretty early on, and San Pedro won fairly easily. But then in the playoffs, Bannon got the last laugh. They made the championship, and San Pedro only made the semifinals. So that was a fun storyline to follow. But those two teams, I think, would be right there to challenge Birmingham in a normal season for sure.
Got it.
This has been the SB Live California podcast. Lance Smith, Bodie DeSilva, Connor Morissette, thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next time.